Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening and welcome to another edition of the New Africa Business Association Black Belt Wall Street Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bilal Masadiq Bynum, speaking to you live from the studio here in Washington, D.C. Tonight we're going to have an open mic, which means that this is a good time if you're a business owner to come in and network and identify your business, because this is a business identification and network marketing business identification. We also will be continuing with our natural disaster courses and training. And of course, we expect Sister Aisha to come on and give us a lot of information as far as that is concerned. But right now, welcome to the show. And I'd like to welcome you to the show and also welcome my co-host.
Greetings. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Bilal.
Good evening, Brother Aziz. Walaikum salam. Welcome to the show. And I was just telling the audience, tonight is an open mic. Evening, and so if you have a business and you can network with everyone by identifying your business and getting to know each other as business owners, and hopefully we can become a client, meet a client by doing a networking and giving those demonstrations on what it is to network and identify businesses, folks in your community. And in this case, we're talking about from many different states. So we will also be continuing our conversation, of course, on our training for the disaster program. So we have a two-hour program, and we'll start off Brother Aziz and our general network marketing and like I said, giving those who have a business or have something political they like to get off their chest or something that we should be informed as far as a community. And tonight is a good night to express yourself. I am going to open up the mics as we go along. So, if you can hear me, you'll be able to communicate with me because I'm simply open the mic. So, but if you are not speaking, please put yourself on mute until you have something to say so we won't interfere with background noise. So other than that, Brother Aziz, network marketing and business identifications, and like I said, and of course, we'll be continuing our disaster program. So any comments you have about this evening's subject, Brother Aziz, before we go to open up our mic?
Yes, I would like to say greetings to our audience out there, and that's on Lego. But I'd also like to throw it. Yes, alhamdulillah. Sister Aisha?
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Great, great. Yes, I'd just like to say to our listeners out there that we have a lot going on in the country today, and I just wanted to refer back to the disaster prevention program that we'll be having come on later on our show, that the more and more we see what's going on in this country, the fires, the mass movement of migration, of not only people, the animals, the shortage of food supplies and that, it's really a major problem that's coming that the government knows about, but they haven't been warning anybody. It was like back in the 50s, there used to be governmental warnings or bulletins put out about littering on the highway. You know, and then they start putting signs out there. If you got caught throwing trash out of your cars on the highway, you're going to get a fine for it. Also had public television where they were talking about driver safety, which is something that is tremendously needed today, driver safety and driver respect for one another. So, yeah, the main thing that I had to say to our audience tonight is to pay attention to what's going on in the country concerning the different disasters that are taking place and the need for the disaster preparation program that Summit Inc. is teaching to Sister Aisha Abdul Ali. You know, this is it's such a needed program. If we only knew it was like needing food to eat. Also, I'd like to say that we can't go without mentioning a little bit of that January 6th committee hearing that's going on and more details coming out about the former President Trump. As well as today they had this police officer that got killed by another guy who they're going to get ready to give him some time. So with all this happening and President Trump trying to get these people to back him and all that, there's a lot of chaos going on in the country, which really needs us to focus on community and just like not neighborhood, focus on the community. And protecting our community. And protecting our community is preparing for the worst to come. And there are a lot of things that are going to come to us that we just need to prepare for. So if anyone's out there listening to our show, we're not only talking about business networking, identifying businesses, as well as getting to know business people, connecting with one another that didn't know one another, that may be able to give one another some advice in many areas of business. But we also talk about the disaster prevention and preparation that's coming up. So that's what I wanted to lead out with tonight without taking up a lot of time, Brother Bilal. And, thank you for letting me make those comments, and hopefully, you know, come back in later on.
And no doubt about it. Like I said, it's a two-hour program, and at this point,
yes.
Brothers and sisters, like I said, it's an open mic. And we want to give you a chance to be a participant right off the start of the show. So, again, if anyone wants to talk about their business or they have some concerns that they like to bring to our attention, our mics are open, and we're going to welcome you to the show. All right, Brother Aziz, but then in that case, I will come on back and I will talk about network marketing and business identifying. You see, brothers and sisters, yes. I said before, every community in our communities need to start building business associations. And you don't build a business association by having a whole lot of meetings. You build a business association by being very proactive in business and business ideas. And who is better to be proactive and share business ideas than a business owner? So if, everyone in your community, and we're emphasizing our community, the African-American community, because that's the community that's been dealing with redlining for the last 100 years. And it started with the New Deal, and it's still going on today. And you can see the evidence of it because it was meant to make certain that cash flow did not go into the African-American communities. And so when I'm saying cash flow, I'm saying you're not going to see any financial institutions such as banks. You're not going to see a brokerage. You're not going to see real estate brokerage. You don't see any financial or any other type business when it comes directly to the African American community, because the redlining was meant to keep cash flow from the communities. Now, of course, 100 years later, and the many disasters that have happened, such as Black Belt and Black Belt Wall Street, the success and the disruption and the breakup of those business organizations where African Americans may put together their own business plan. Brothers and sisters, we don't have that anymore. We're not putting together any business plans. And that's why we're spending money with everyone all but ourselves. Because again, we do not have a business plan, and there is no business industrialization going on in our community. And it was meant to be that way. But I am saying today, and the evidence, and that's why you don't see the cash flow going through our communities. Like I said, the time of segregation, the dollar stayed in our communities about 40 months before it left. Now it stays in our community, I would say less than 2 or 3 days, and some say just a few hours. But but that's because there is no financial institutions to put your monies, not even a bank, to put your own monies in your own communities where your communities can grow economically like all others' communities. And because of redlining, it has cost the African-American communities, I would say trillions of dollars, because of the equities and just the praxis of our monies going out of our communities, but not being able to come back because we don't have financial institutions to even bring our own money exchange back into our communities after we deposit it into the banks, and it goes through the Fed system that's called the Federal Reserve. But after their clearance, the money goes back into the communities where it was deposited. Our money's come back to the zip code of our communities, but the zip code of our communities is not controlled by any African Americans. All of the state legislators, community legislators, town legislators, any type of anyone who has any say about where money distribution should go, even though the deposit was made by the entire community, there is only this one society that makes decisions for everybody's monies in that particular community or zip code. So again, we got to... Oh, yeah, there's no doubt we've been robbed. But, again, we have to look at our situation and realize that we're still spending over $1.7 trillion in consumer spending outside of our community. So, again, as a community, as a business person, we're saying we need to put together business ideas and business practices that will keep that dollar bill right in our Black communities, where our consumers do not have to go out of their communities in order to spend money. We can't wait to, we know that the redlining when it comes to the financial institutions, what it has cost, but that doesn't stop us from, building our communities economically, because the same way the all groups or all communities, all of them, when I don't care what kind of communities you see, they all share a finance and business growth jointly. So again, when it comes to they want to build have businesses in a certain communities, they all just simply put together whatever amount of money it will take, and like you said, and buy the entire block of business, and now the entire communities own that block, and the entire communities can make their business ideas and plans on how we're going to participate in business and the ownership of an entire business block, and buying one block at a time. But the idea is to put the businesses back into the African-American community, because that is the community that is consuming so much money on the outside of their communities. So it makes all the sense in the world to me to group together and become each other's assets and build businesses right in the communities. So again, this is what we're talking about with systems. When we say network marketing, business identification, yes, we want to know about your business, and we want to do business with you, but we also want to grow jointly with each other. And the smaller businesses, now we can make larger businesses. Your small business may be made a larger business. Why? Because it's no longer just you. It's a group of us. And so now, and we can be each other's assets, and we can think bigger than what a one single person can think. So again, network marketing, business identification, that's what our subject is tonight and for the moment. And so again, if you have so our mics are open again. If you can hear me, I can hear you. And our mics are open to anyone who wish to network with us and identify your business. Let us know who you are. And hopefully, who knows, you might pick up a client. But network marketing and business identification. And again, it doesn't have to be business. You have a good business idea, or if you have a political concern, our mics are open. Good evening.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz.
Yes.
James DeBoer Hammonds in Statesville, North Carolina.
Would you believe this, Brother Aziz?
Brother DeBoer. Blessings of love, my brother.
How are you, brother?
Wow.
It's a long time.
Now we got a business brother on the line here.
Seriously.
Brother.
I had forwarded the information on the blog to my Facebook family, and someone sent it back to me recently as they were passing it along in their network. And when I saw it, I knew immediately that I had to call in and join the discussion and join you brothers. I'm ecstatic with the work that you're doing. It's so necessary. Really, really necessary. As you know, my passion is the violence, the murders, and it's tied in. African Americans need to understand what a social order is. Everybody, every advanced society on earth use the same social order to compete against each other with, except African Americans. And that social order is education, economics, politics, and culture. Your input on economics is invaluable. And until we as a people understand that we can't be a society unless we have a social order. So we have to do these things. We have to adopt the information that you have, contribute to the work that you advise us towards, and let's tackle this problem. We can rise up as a people, but we have to take it to heart, every one of us, that we're involved. We can't sit on the sidelines. I'm enjoying listening, and I'm going to shut up and let someone else speak, brother. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa-alaykum as-salam. Thank you.
Appreciate those comments. And stay right on the show. Again, brothers and sisters, our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
Yes, Brother.
Brother,
I was going to ask a call-in friend, Brother Sabor, to just call in. Had a company called ProCap, Public Relations on Crime and Pollution, and I was just wondering if we're going to move forward with that, because it was a great effort, too. Crime and pollution in our community. We're just not talking about environmental pollution, so much, you know, the pollution of the mind, you know, these weak ideas and lies that are being spread out, like our former president, Donald McDonald. So, Brother Sabor, if you hear me, are you still working in that area?
I have a desire. I took a break from it, doing business and other things. But also, as you know, we had a lot of opposition in the African-American community itself from leadership in African-American community. There is a desire for someone else to have the microphone, for someone else to speak to the people. So that had to run its course. I don't know if you remember the faith-based initiative that the government had. You know, if you had a plan, all you had to do was write your proposal, big or small, come and get the money. Man, listen, the proposal writers got fat. Everybody with any institution at all had proposal writers, and it fell on its face. It produced nothing. So now maybe we can find people who have an interest, mothers who have murdered children, and I've met a few people in law enforcement that really have an interest to hear other ideas and try new things. You know, in 1990, the commission called the Turner Commission released this report from his study. They studied our group and other groups that were out there in the fight. And they recommended for the government to partner with the inter-community activities. Instead of partnering with us, they partnered with the corporations and built private prisons. They increased the police forces by 100,000 at a time. They started having night courts. And all it did was produce more decadence and more violence. So we know that that's not the solution. That's not the answer. And maybe it's time that some of the things that we introduced that the Turner Commission saw and was enthused about in making their recommendation that the government should partner with the communities, maybe it's time now that we can initiate some of those things and have an impact. We know what the problem is. We know what we have to do. And I think we can take care of that if we can get some cooperation from African-American leadership. That's where the biggest problem is. It's with African-American leadership.
Yeah.
But I think we can do it.
Yes.
We appreciate your comments. Again, brothers and sisters, the network marketing and business identification, identifying your business or having a business idea or a political idea. Our mics is open to the public tonight, so if you have a comment, we certainly like to hear from you. Welcome to the show.
That's all right.
Legum Salaam.
Legum Salaam.
How you doing? Alhamdulillah. Well, you know, my business, I want to join any business y'all want to do.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I say most of you know some of my businesses I've had. But I say I want to join in, and any brother who wants to do any business jointly.
Yes.
But what I'm trying to do is import-export. But, you know, everybody doesn't want to do everything everybody else wants to do. But the thing is, I can do mine on my own. I'm willing to partner with anybody who wants to do something, whatever they want to do.
And that's what this networking, open mic is all about, Again, if you have your own business, we'd like to identify your business and promote your business. But the biggest emphasis is what this brother here is talking about, and this is what our association is talking about. It's where we can become each other's asset and open a business. And the business don't have to be here in Washington, D.C. It doesn't have to be in Maryland, or it can be in Europe. I believe that every African-American community out here needs to advance in business. Because, again, if you go to any African-American restaurant traveling, and you can put on your GPS and ask for an African-American restaurant, and they'll tell you, nobody can tell you anything. But you can ask for an Italian restaurant and tell me where it's an Asian restaurant, and they can tell you within a couple of miles, 5 miles to the left. So there's no businesses in our communities. So what this brother is talking about and what we're emphasizing is becoming each other's asset. And by becoming each other's asset, we now, rather than putting our monies into buying a brand new $80,000 or $60,000 vehicle, we can put $60,000 into being a business owner.
And putting
your own business ideas. And I am like this brother. Yes, come up with a good a business, whether you're in business or you want to go into business and you got a good business plan that you can present. For instance, I've seen plenty of African-American towns that I've driven through, and it's always like looking at a gold mine. You see this heavy flow of traffic coming through your community, and whether they're going to the beach or whether they're going to some resorts, but anyway, this traffic is coming through your community. Anytime you have a large flow of traffic, that means that there's business opportunity. Because, again, that traffic needs business services, and you've got to provide that service when that traffic comes through your community. But not to have any business, they're just going to drive right through your community. Brothers, that's what I mean about African-American communities is a great place, a wonderful place to start a business. Why? Because there are no businesses. But you have all of these beautiful homes in the community. Everybody's there. But wouldn't it be nice to come out of your home and not have to drive 10, 15 miles to go to somebody else's community? You can have it all right there, your own gas stations, your own restaurants, your own real estate companies. You name it, your own insurance companies. Your own doctors and medical facilities. All of this is business. And if the business can make money across the track in the community that the consumer discriminate against you, it certainly can make money in your own community. Why not invest your $60,000 and 100 of you in your community? Get together, buy an entire block of business, and own the entire block, as Brother Sam Harris would say. And I can't tell you the business opportunities that we have right now that is about to fall through, because we cannot get enough African Americans to buy a gold mine that we know that we're sitting on in Tampa Bay, Florida. I sent out an email and showed most of you, and it's on your email, about that investment that is being proposed in Tampa. But and it's being proposed by African-Americans. They want other African-Americans to buy at this property. And there are plenty of African Americans out here that are about to retire. And they rather leave their businesses with other African Americans. But, brother, we're just not ready to step up to the plate and take, I mean, wonderful deals that are being offered. But again, but I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to leave it alone. But I will say that take buy businesses in our own community. Brother Aziz, I take a moment. I need to take this call, but I'm going to switch it back over to you. And then we're going to go take a few questions. Then we're going to go to our guest speaker, Sister Aisha.
Yes. One of the things that the brother that just come on about wanting for us to invest in that, Brother Hassan, for us to invest together, or he's willing to participate in anybody that has a good business plan. This is what our program has been about for quite some time now, getting people like this brother to come together with some others, getting some groups together to come together, and let's have a plan and move forward with putting a business in your community or a business somewhere, but a business. And what this
brother,
does primarily...
Brother, assalamu alaikum.
Assalam, Sister Joy.
I tell you what, I just can't contain myself any longer. I'm just, you know, I feel like a child. I feel like like Christmas. You know, remember when we were kids with that anticipation? You know, I went to that symposium. Yes, sir. I went to that symposium this weekend. But one of the things that we must do, as far as I'm concerned, each of us need to become members of the African Diaspora Development Institute. I stayed on that phone call 4 hours and 15 minutes because each department gave its report, I suppose. But I have to be honest with you, I enjoyed each moment. Now, as I was speaking to you guys, I think it was last week, and I wanted to hold off until next week, but this has just seemed to me the time to do it. I'm sorry my sister may not be here to help me with this, but this may be continued. You remember when I had come on and I was speaking about the chickenomics last week, perhaps? Well, anyway, the sister she broke it on down. Now, this African diaspora thing, it's international. If you want to, look, they spoke about two different investment opportunities, so to speak. Now, one, I'll come back to the chickenomics, but one was on just the minerals and those precious gems in the earth. He spoke of 40 different natural resources in the ground that we, everyday people, can invest in. Let me tell you, the brother's name, and this is just in Zimbabwe alone. He was naming them so fast, and I became so engrossed in what the man was saying, I forgot to write. I mean, he spoke of gold and diamonds and platinum. I say, have mercy. Now, if you're interested in any of those emails, I have the contact person's email. But the sister came on, the ambassador for Zimbabwe. This sister came on and she said, well, first of all, their greetings to us was Grand Rising. So Grand Risings, brothers and sisters, so we're coming up. The lady said, you're looking for investments. You want to buy the block. You want to do these things. But you want to find a way to invest. She says, if you want to buy the block, she says, you need to get into your chickenomics. That's chicken economics. She broke it down about you invest in these $5,000, and Brother Aziz, you can get back into your halal business. I don't know, but I do know this. The lady broke it down. She said you invest in these 5,000 chickens, and you raise these chickens, and then you just like with the houses, you flip them, and you continue flipping these chickens, and you let these chickens be your foundation for what you're trying to build. And the lady said, wait a minute, the lady said, who doesn't eat chicken? Internationally, who doesn't eat chicken? Well, we thought about
That's
it.
Right.
We couldn't think of anybody. She says, everyone eats chicken. And who's
That's
allergic
right.
to it? People may be allergic to fish. You may be allergic to this, but can you think of anyone allergic to chickens? So, brothers, we're looking to put a chicken in every pot. You understand me? I got so excited. I got so excited I started next because not only can we grow the chicken, and you know what else they said? They said, well, with the chickens, you're going to need some chips. They got chicken and potatoes. And that's a staple around the world. It
Absolutely.
Just tells chicken
yes.
sisters and brothers, and let us go into the chicken business. Because like the lady said, we all eat it. So if you're interested in more information about the chickens, and like I said, with my sister, and I took them from the biddy to being carried for slaughter. Then I said, we might as well get us a restaurant. So I have identified, I've identified about 10 different restaurants. Listen. Remember back in the day in D.C. they had wings and things? But now we're going to have strips, chips, and chips. So I'm just going to give you something to think about. But I will go into the webinar that I attended for FEMA on yesterday at a different time. However, if you guys are interested in getting more information about the chickenomics, I will surely, and I may get some, well, not necessarily odd, but if they send some emails, as I put out your New Africa Business VA on their post for more information. So if you get information from Addie or the African Diaspora Development Institute, just forward it or, you know, share it or whatever you want to do. I thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, go right ahead. Our mics are open.
I was going to ask Sister Joyce, I know quite a bit about chicken farming and that also, as well as where we can go get equipment and things like that. But what I was wondering is, because I helped a guy that I was working with one time that's over in Ghana get some equipment and stuff in that to take over to Ghana. He was going to raise some chickens over there. So what I wanted to ask Sister Joyce was, were we referring to chickens, us raising some here, or raising some over there?
As far as I know, brother, we can rate, if we can get people, because, see, we don't want any mess. And I feel that this
right.
is reputable agency.
Yes,
we can raise
yes.
chickens north, east, south, and west.
Yes.
I don't see where if you want to go to take them to Belgium, you'll have that opportunity. We can raise chickens, my brother.
That's a big market. That's a big market in the halal business itself, let alone the regular Americans.
The lady said, she said, I'm going to tell you something that's been in your face all your life and you haven't been looking at it. She said, chickens. Chickens. The lady said, chickens. And she didn't lie.
Yeah.
Everybody eats chicken in various forms.
You know, the average chicken that goes on the market, his lifespan is from the time he's hatched is only 6 weeks.
Well,
that's
yeah.
all.
But that's
weeks
because
they're
raising theirs, but they're shooting them up, growing overnight. But I mean, I would have to see what the market's calling for. But I would like for our chickens to be like you were saying. You know about chickens, honey? Let me tell you, we know about raising a chicken.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
Why I was hoping that my sister
would
be on here,
because
we took them from
Biddy
to the
Pig. Let me ask both of you, now that we're into this long chicken marketing business, are you guys ready to go into the chicken business? Is that what we're talking about, putting our monies into tonight?
Well, let me tell you something. A portion of it. Tell you something, Brother Bilal.
Yeah.
It's no way I'm going to get up at when the cock crows.
So that's not the business. We're not talking about going into the chicken business then.
No, yes, we are. Because somebody's going to get up and do it.
No. I believe that there is a value in the chicken business, but I am just saying, if tonight we're talking about putting our assets together. The brother said he's ready to put his money with anybody who's ready to open a business.
I heard him.
And so am I. And so what's the name of the business that we're talking about opening, and where and what is the business plan for opening this business?
Like I said, we'll get in touch with the people from Addy who are already doing it. You with me? Because like I said, the lady, she said you start with 5,000 chickens. She broke down the price of each little bitty. She ain't playing. She knows exactly what she's talking about. Now, she may have to fill us the blank for us.
Let me just
but I guarantee
this.
You.
Let me just say
I'm sorry.
This. Let me just say this if I could.
I'm listening.
If any African-American out there in their communities, especially out in the rural areas, when it comes to raising chickens or having chickens back there, we all know it all about raising chickens. Nowhere in the world we don't know anything about raising chickens. If we wanted to go into the chicken business, there is nothing at all we don't know about raising chickens. It's just a matter of that. But to say that we need to go out and go into chicken farming overseas, I mean, why go so far away when you can do it right in your own backyard?
Well, I'm not leaving out any particular area.
I am just saying, Black Belt Wall Street, we're trying to rebuild the Black Belt. Because it was the Black Belt, and it's still African Americans, that have the largest amount of capital in the world. So again, if we can rebuild the Black Belt with the huge amount of capital that we're still spending, I am saying there are many, many different type businesses that we need to bring into our community. And I am looking for, even though I am retired and been in business for 40 years, but I know what the independence, and I also know that when it comes to income, no one could control my income. Therefore, if I could go out and make just as much money as any other professional out here who as a salary employee, as an African-American, it would have been impossible for me to make. So I went out and became a financial planner, someone who, you're right, that look into many markets, and can see the opportunity of where monies can be made. But the whole thing is being in business and having that not being controlled by salaries or being have to be rentals where I don't own any valuable properties because my income won't afford me to. But business, there is no such thing. It's about me being controlled and the independence. And then I look at the community, my community, that's spending so much money that's consumers. And I'm saying, my goodness, if they would only take and sell the goods and services that they spend monies on in their community. And that's the business that I am looking to hopefully to see start growing. You ladies, and I don't know, yes, I do know because I looked into it. One of the biggest products that is sold to African-American females is hair. And who is selling these African-American females the hair? Sisters, you know who is selling it to you. And they are making billions of dollars here in the United States selling you hair. So again, turn that market around. You can go and sell each other. There's no reason why you can't make the same deals that these folks are selling you the hair. They don't live in China. They don't live in Taiwan. They don't live in South Korea. They ain't doing nothing but ordering this stuff and having it shipped to them. You can do the same thing, especially when you have a business association who has the marketing power, and that's why there is a Black Belt Wall Street business association. Because, again, we can put our powers together, and there are, and it's unlimited to what our communities can do. And like the brother said earlier, when we become organized, an organized community, that's why it's good. I say have business associations in your community. And yes, if that business association, you might live in a community where you're in a rural area and chickens, it's plentiful and you might have a market. And yes, we need to hear from you. Our farmers and all like that, I've been saying for years, we need to make deals with our farmers so they can become productive, even if we have to front them a certain amount of money. So again, brothers and sisters, it was meant for me to take a mic. I am going to turn it back over, and I'm going to open the mic back up. Sister Aisha, we're going to spend just a few more minutes on our first half of the show, which is meant to be business and business identification. And our second half will go over to you. So again, we still got time in our first half. Network marketing, business identification, and any business ideas or suggestions or political suggestions. Brothers and sisters, we're opening mics up and the show is open to you. We welcome your comments.
I know that I'm on the second half, but I would like to just make a point on this business segment. If we, as, and I wanted to say this to Sister Joyce, we have had endeavors in the chicken business in Mississippi. That's the Black Belt. And if you remember the area called New Medina, which is still very thriving and down there in Mississippi.
Yes.
And this was, and this was a project of Dr. Ali. I would say that, and it was to raise and sell and get into the chicken industry. So we do have we do have people in the Black Belt, especially in New Medina, who can educate all of us who might be interested in the chickens. I'm not interested in the chickens, but I know that there are other people, and we all do eat chicken. But I would say reach out to the resources that we have in the Black Belt. New Medina is one. It's still down there. Dr. Ali is still in that area. Busy, busy, of course. But the knowledge, they have tremendous knowledge. And make those contacts. Learn everything you can and about this business. And they know it. This was one of their
prepared for disaster too. They got to get them chickens prepared for disaster.
Well, but you got to understand the business, and the business is just not when it gets to our plate. It's before it gets to our plate. So I'm simply saying we have the resources of knowledge in our community down there in New Medina. The committee should reach out to the people of knowledge so they will make the best decision. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, our mics are open. We welcome your comments.
Of course.
Brother Azizu again. I was going to say, yes, what Sister Aisha brought up about New Medina, yes, it's Dr. Ali down there also. He's really great when it comes to information about agriculture also. And we do, as African Americans, when it comes to the food business, because we know that food, shelter, and clothing are good businesses to get in, you know. And we as African Americans, we do have a Black Cattlemen's Association. We have the Black Farmers Association. So all of these people produce the food for us. So we know that that's what helped build the Black Belt, Wall Street, you know, the agriculture and the industry that we had down there. But we do have something for all African Americans and get involved in when it comes to into businesses. Just what businesses do you want to get involved in, and what New Africa Business Association, Black Belt Wall Street, is doing primarily right now is promoting more or less real estate investments to our listeners. They're buying properties, as Brother Bilal is saying, you know, getting some foothold here, because we have a lot of African Americans that own many, many acres, thousands of acres of land when it comes to farming. So we're involved in different areas. So it's good to have suggestions coming from everywhere. But our, you know, our platform is moving in the direction of, you know, trying to secure some of these cities and getting them ready for not only the disasters that's coming forth, but getting a piece of that, and, you know, instead of spending your money giving it to everybody else, let's give it to one another. You know, we'll feel a whole lot better, as well as employing our own people. Employing our own. That's real big. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Again, thanks for your comments on network marketing and business identification, identifying your business, or talking about business concerns, or if you have a political idea, we welcome your comments. Our mics are still open for you. We welcome your comments. Okay, in that case, I will.
I have a question I would like to ask.
Go right ahead, please.
Brother Sabor here.
Yes, go right ahead.
I know. In major concerns are supply and distribution. In the African American community, we consume a lot of things, but we don't have the supply network, we don't have the distribution network, and we don't have the facility wherein the individual people can acquire the end product that we seek to put out there. How do we organize a network that will allow African Americans, individuals, to invest in the total structure for business dissemination, which is supply, distribution, and dissemination. How do we begin to think in terms of a system where we as individuals can put our money, no matter how much of it we want to invest at a time, into such an operation, and that operation is structured from beginning to the end result. A lot of people want to invest, but they don't have big money to take any incremental part of that. But we would have people that would invest in a total structured plan if it could be worked out that way. I'd like to hear something along those lines.
I'll be glad to try to answer that question. First and foremost, Brother Savoy, the answer to your question is really ownership. You see, you don't have control of a business plan and putting together your distribution or your supplies. In order to have a that type of business plan, you must be a business owner. And so that's what I mean about owning business. I didn't say nothing about renting businesses in the African-American community. I said to actually own the business. Because when you own the business, well, you can put together your own business plan, whether it be as a sole proprietor or whether it be a large corporation, or whether it be a business community putting together their business plan. But the whole thing is that in order for you to put together any type of business plan and has anything to do with distribution and supply, you must first be an owner of the business itself. So does that sort of help at all?
It does. I was thinking and learned. You remember ComCop, where there was collective purchasing and collective investment?
Yeah.
I was thinking in terms of something like that, wherein we, you know, I remember as a kid growing up in the South, churches used to collect nickels, dimes, and quarters and help build HBCUs.
Yeah.
You go, the bootleggers had a jar on the table, you know, where people collected their coins. African Americans have spendable money, but not in great quantity. I mean, the ones that would invest in themselves.
Brother
there
Support.
Are many of them that would contribute. Yes?
Brother Support.
Yes, sir.
Last year, African Americans spent $1.7 trillion.
Agreed.
I mean, that's more money than they have. That made us, if we were the national growth product, we would be the fifth richest country in the entire world. So this thing about African Americans not having money, are you joking? We have a whole...
No, I agree. I agree with the total pool.
We're 99%.
I agree with that.
We're 99% consumers, which means we spend our money other places other than our own community.
I agree.
Well, I have something I wanted to say.
Yes, sir.
I want to say something else about concerning what this might help you answer a little bit also. You know what the need is there, you know, the ownership or to be the business. What we need is, and when to answer your question is, to put all that together, what you want is you need a logistical plan. Logistical
right.
is what takes it from here, stores it, takes it over here and distributes it, so disseminate it to different areas in that. That's what the plan is. That's, you have to have a distribution plan, for a logistical plan, to do everything we want to do. So it's all about logistics. We already have the information. You know, already know what it is. How do you move it about? And it's planning logistics. I don't know if that helps at all, brother.
Brother Ozzie.
That's exactly what I'm speaking about.
How are you going to have logistics if you don't own anything?
Well,
you got to be an owner. You got
that's
when it all starts, owning your own and now making your own business plans. And business plans is part of logistics. But you can't have a business plan unless you're an owner.
Okay, can I tell you this here? When I was selling the halal meat in the giant distribution store that was going to 20 stores, okay, now where we were getting the product was from upstate New York. It had to come down to Virginia, to Mechanicsville, Virginia, to be distributed not only to the stores in Virginia, Washington, D.C., as well as Maryland, okay? Now, to get it from the plant to where we had to get it to, that was on us.
Yeah, but
we had to figure out how we were going to get it from that plant down to the distribution center.
Brother Ozzie,
that had to, yes.
You guys were still the owners of the business. You have to be an owner of the business to make those decisions.
We own the business, yes. We didn't own the product.
You got to be an
owner. We were moving product.
To start a business. You got to be an owner of a business in order to start a business. Then you can get into your business. That's what I mean. African Americans need to make their own business plans, but they can't make their own business plans unless they own a business.
A good point, brother.
I'm saying I'm not trying to be debatable, but I am trying.
This is not debatable at all, brother. And I see your point, and it's exactly right.
We can theorize whatever, but owning a business is what it's all about.
Yeah, but any business starts with a plan.
I'm sorry.
Any business starts with a plan.
Okay. I'm not going to get into. I think what it is, we've been talking business long enough. Look like I'm gonna leave this alone for a moment. But brothers and sisters, our businesses are needed in our communities, becoming each other's assets, and owning businesses in our communities. I'm telling you, regardless, it's worth it. You got to know that it's worth it because of the amount of consumers, the money that we consume buying goods and services from others. So again, put those goods and services into our own communities where that huge amount of money is being spent. You'll find that, yes, you can come up with as many plans as you want. But please, you got to own the business. So with that said, it's 8 o'clock. I am going to switch over, but I will say before I go, if anyone have a question or comment about business or politics, we are going to still entertain your questions just before I switch over to our second topic. We welcome your comments.
Okay. Thank you. I enjoyed the discussion.
Now we're going to get into our sister Aisha. I am going to now turn it over to you. And thanks so much, audience, for listening to Network Marketing and Business Identification. Sister Aisha.
Thank you. Salaam alaikum.
Salaam.
I'm glad you can hear me. I want to, was it the brother from Statesville who mentioned the social order when we were talking about business? Is that brother still on? Did you mention the social order of economics, education, politics, and culture?
Yes, ma'am.
And I didn't get your name. Could you? I didn't get your name.
James Sabura Hammonds.
Okay. All right. Hammonds, thank you very much for, and actually, you must have been reading my mind because that was, I was going to talk about social structure, being organized, and that organization is the first step in changing attitudes and adapting to new behavior. And this is what we have to have when we talk about climate change and surviving this new era or this new lifestyle of climate change. It's all about adaptation and our willingness to do some work. And if we do not, and it's going to center around a new social order, but it doesn't exclude economics, and we certainly have to be educated. And the politics are in place, but the culture is not in place. And so we have the economics, obviously, because the U.S. government has spent over $450 trillion in disaster relief, and we still are not there today. Also, we don't have the education because only 71% of Americans say that they are unprepared for a disaster. You have to be educated on why you should be prepared because this is a new arena for us. And we're going to have to bring that into our lifestyle, and it's going to take time. I mentioned last week that FEMA stated that since 2013, preparedness has increased in the U.S. by only 2%. Now, the U.S. government has spent over $480 trillion in disaster, but only 2% of the people are prepared for a disaster, and that's an education problem. The politics is there. Just recently, President Biden issued Executive Order 13985. Actually, it was proposed in January of 2021, and it went into law effectively this year. And that executive order calls on every agency in the government to advance equity through identifying and addressing barriers to equal opportunity that underserved communities. And that we're in that category, that underserved communities may face due to government policies and programs. Now, that's the politics in it. So the president is, of course, into the politics of every major issue that affects the American citizens. And this executive order says that not only are the underserved population not being addressed, the needs of the underserved population are not being addressed, also the communities that the government policies and programs are possibly barriers to keep the underserved population issues from being addressed. And that's what this executive order said, that these agencies going to have to assess this and change it. That's the politics. Now, where's the culture? I don't see the culture in this. The culture are the people. We have been talking about this issue of preparedness for, what, over a month, 2 months? month and a half, and still people are not signing up for the training. The training is education. As we become educated, our mindset changes. Our desire, our momentum, and our intent turns into action. And we don't know the extent and the seriousness of a disaster, how it can wipe out everything you own, your house and everything, and kill you, kill your family. This is a life or death situation, the way disasters are developing every day, how we are hearing the outcome of the forest fires in the western part of the U.S. Every night for the last 2 weeks, I live in Durham, North Carolina, we are having these huge storms, and we are getting this massive rain. So what's going to happen? We are bracing for a flood. We already, as African Americans, live in the worst areas of the community that have the greatest vulnerability. Most of our homes are either a flood zone or an incinerator or a soil degraded area. So what do we have to do to get the people to want to become educated? How do we approach this new change in the social order for not just us as African Americans and people of color, but for the total society? 71% of Americans say that they have no plan, no disaster plan, that they don't know what they would do if they had a major disaster. They have no idea. I think that that is a critical emergency in itself. And if we're talking about moving forward in anything, let's secure our families. Let's learn what we have to do. Because we are not a people who shy away from education. But most of our education does not take us to where we need to go because it was not designed that way. It doesn't take us to go into action mode because most of the education was not designed that way. It took us into a philosophical mode, and that's where we are stuck. So I say to you, and I say to the audience, sign up for the course. The course is $45 for you to sign up. And then if you use a code, BBW, that's 10% off. And the reason the course is not free, serious people do not respect, and this is data, this is research, serious people have very low respect for that which is free. They don't take it seriously. They see it as another poverty program or a handout program. Well, survival is neither one of those two things. It is getting serious about what you have to do and getting the job done. Most recently, and I'm going to stop and ask questions and let you all ask me questions, but I want to say from the economic perspective, according to the Hope Operation Hope, over 185 million people in the U.S. are financially stressed and they cannot afford the process of evacuation. Because when you evacuate during an emergency, you might have hotel or other accommodation expenses. You need gas for your car. You got to have a vehicle, first of all. You have some people going to want to take a flight. You have to take food with you and water with you, hygiene items and other items. The majority of people cannot afford those things. A large percentage cannot afford to even evacuate when the alert goes off and say evacuate. And then the other part of them have no idea where they will evacuate to. So this is the seriousness of disaster preparedness. If you become prepared, all of these answers, all these questions you have answered for your family. If you do not become prepared, you're going to be waiting like the people at Katrina did for 72 hours to be rescued. It took 72 hours for them to be rescued. And now look how those families are all broken up. Many of them are still over there in Houston where they were sent and can't get their families back together. So let's take a lesson from what has already taken place and do better. Talk to your relatives. Sign up for the course. That the training is an hour, 50 minutes, 45, 50 minutes with Q&A. But it would give you the major step that you need to feel comfortable that your family is secure. So please, let's have some questions, whatever I can say to get you all to who are listening, to move this training, move this effort to save our families. So can we have anyone would like to ask a question?
How can you access this training?
Brother Bilal?
No, go right ahead. No, go right ahead, Aisha, and ask some questions.
You can access the training. Now, Brother Bilal sent out a flyer. He sent out to many people, and all you have to do is just click on the flyer, and it'll take you right to the course, right? But if you don't have the flyer, take down the website for Summit. The website is Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, E-R-A, Summit E-R-A, Inc., I-N-C, .com. And on the tab, it would say course registration. Click on that tab, and it'll take you right to the registration page and the date that the course is being offered. Did you get that, brother?
I did.
Okay. And this is, we need large communities to get members to get involved. Now, the schedule this Saturday is the last class for the month of July. However, the schedule for August and September and October will go up on the website next week. And we usually have 4 to 5 classes per month. That's our schedule. We hope to have even more classes once we get more trainers on board. Okay. And we are starting to train the trainers, train the people who are going to train the trainers. Okay. And we need an army. We need large masses of people to be trainers. But in order to be a trainer, you got to first take the first step and take the course. This is one course. It's the same course every on the schedule for every month. By the first of the year, hopefully we'll have enough people ready to go to step two. But this first course, which is basic preparedness, it's awareness, my family plan, readiness. Do you have what you need to evacuate or shelter in place? And staying informed. That means we'll talk to you about the emergency alert system, the apps, the ones that I have found to be some of the best ones. We'll talk about that. So if you get an alert, sometimes you can have 3 hours. Sometimes you can have 3 days. It depends on the kind of alert to evacuate. And if you get an alert that says evacuate, You got 24 hours or you got 72 hours, do it. Some people cannot evacuate because of the condition that they're in. They are going to have to shelter in place. But in order to shelter in place, you have to have certain supplies. You have to be cushioned. But if you can evacuate. Don't stay there. So these are the things that we go through in the course. And this is not rocket science. This is paying attention and being ready. You have children, you have pets, you have children in school, you have elderly people. You need to know what's going to happen to them. Don't leave it to chance. So, did I answer your question about the training?
You did.
The goal is to train millions of people. And we can do it. We can do it as a group working together. If you have a large organization, constituent base, when you go to our website, go to Contact Us, the tab, and send me a note. Or if you go to, you'll see our email address under Contact Us. Send me an email. Let's have a dialogue. Let's talk. I'm available. But the idea is to get all your people prepared. Don't be a part of that 71% of Americans who are not prepared. We'll lose our lives if we do that. Okay.
Sister Aisha.
Any other questions?
Yes. Sister Aisha Bilal Biner. Once a person is completely trained and knowing that there are 9 different disaster zones in this country, and know that half of the government needs help in filling out disasters and disaster forms and what have you. But once a person is completely trained, what values and what benefits will this person have, even if they don't want to be trainers with us?
The benefit is just the number of people trained. If it's 1,000, 2,000, whatever that number is, that's the number that we will take to the federal agencies to say we are out there training people on a grassroots level. We have the program, and you can measure this program of training, and you will see that it checks all of the boxes. We need the resources, financial resources, that are allocated through the state mitigation office. So each state has a mitigation officer. We need the funds that are allocated from the federal government, from FEMA, to that agency so we can do greater work in the community, so we can develop programs in the community. When I say we, I'm not talking about our company, Summit. We're talking about the network of partners. And this is what Summit is a partner with Black Belt Wall Street. Black Belt Wall Street is going to be a partner with many agencies. We will continue to be a partnership all over America so we can look after our people and look after all people, because it's not just African Americans or of the affected class that's at risk. Trust me, a hurricane don't care what color your skin is, and it would strike, it would sit on your doorstep just like it would sit on that other person's doorstep. It doesn't care. God is very merciful, you know, in that. So we have to come together and train as many people as possible in America. And so all of those resources that go to other agencies and other organizations, they will start coming into our community. And interesting, in my evolution, I have always been a business person. And many years ago, I would have never thought I would be saying the economics, be thinking about the economics of grants and disaster programs. But can you see that this transition from nonprofit and federal agencies allocation is becoming big business? Can you see that? And it is a big business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to become even larger business. But that business can help all of us, all of your organizations in your community, to train your people, make sure your people are prepared. But it won't be a situation where certain organizations, and usually many of our faith-based organizations, would get funds, and the funds will stay there, and the people get nothing. That day is over when it comes to this network. That won't happen. So our job at Summit Environmental Resources, Inc., as a for-profit, is to design training materials, interface with the federal agencies, bring the nonprofits on board, because funding cannot come to the for-profit. It can only go to the nonprofit. But our job is to set it up, and that's what we do best. Did
okay.
that answer your question, Brother Bilal?
Oh, yeah, very much so, and I think you give a good that question is also letting other folks realize the value of this training. Let me just say, piggybacking on what you just talked about, Sister Aisha. Sister Aisha and the rest of us, the board of directors, we have already incorporated Black Belt Wall Street as a nonprofit. So saying that to say what? The reason we want the numbers to be so large and from so many different areas, like we said, there are 9 different districts. There are 10 districts throughout the United States, like the sister was telling us. And I am learning so much by going to her classes, because I never knew the first thing about FEMA. But I did know that there is the monies are this. Anytime there are disasters, that's where monies are coming from. And I do know that what went on with African Americans down in Louisiana when they had the a terrible disaster. African-Americans are just, I mean, many Americans, when it comes to the recovery, just haven't received recovery funds. And we know it because, and we're learning that it's because, many of the states and many communities don't even know how to apply for these funds. So what we're saying here, Black Belt Wall Street is going to be integrated with so many different other organizations, but the biggest thing we want to build is our own African American communities being a part of and signing up now for the training and being trained. Now, we realize, and because we want such a large amount of numbers, we need the the registration fee to pay the staff, but the large amount of members are much more important. And saying that to say, if you was to sign up and pay the $40 registration fee, you can bring in your own group. So not only one person is learning, is hearing the training and learning from the training, but your entire group is able to, all they have to do is come in with you to your location and sit there and listen to the training. The only thing we ask is that you don't have to pay for everybody in your group, but we do ask for the name and email addresses of everyone in your group so that we will have the numbers. So when it's time for us to make our announcements to the federal government, here we've been talking about FEMA, but Sister William, Sister Joyce will be coming on hopefully in a few moments, and she'll be telling you about her trainings with the government and how there are many, many agencies that are doing the same thing that FEMA is doing, saying that to say there is a lot of money trying to be allocated to the communities that are trained and can help them with the disasters. So I wanted to, so that's why we want the large amount of members to be trained, because when we go in New Africa, all of us will be going in under the new Black Belt Wall Street, a nonprofit organization. And now we can go in very powerful. And because numbers is what the government looks for. So with that said, Sister Aisha, I'm going to come back to you and let you continue your program.
So what we would like, please do, go on the website, go on Summit's website and contact me directly under Aisha, A-I-S-H-A, at Summit, S-U-M-M-I-T, E-R-A, Inc.com. Contact me directly, and let's have some dialogue, and we talk about how your organization of people can participate, and that how it will benefit your organization and your people, you know, and not just the language, the course, but everybody needs that's working hard in the field needs to receive financial rewards. We need preparedness community organizers out there full time. And organizers get paid. That's what the people in these offices, federal offices, they're supposed to be organizers. But they're not out in the field. They're in the office. But they get paid. But we know that in order to be effective as a people, we have to pay the messaging directly to the doorstep of our people. And we know that that is the way to go. Because it was successful during the civil rights era. If it wasn't for the concept of community organization, the movement would not have advanced so quickly. And the people who were out there in the field, they were the young people. I was one. And there were hundreds like me all over the country. But we got paid. And it became a summer job from college. Or it became a full-time job as for the parents. So this is how we might not call it grassroots community organization, but we certainly know that we have to be on the doorstep to of the people to make a difference. And before they truly get the messaging, that's the large majority. Okay. So, Sister Joy, tell us about the workshop you attended. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I am here. And
okay. And I attended the same one. I think if you need me to say anything.
Okay. Very good.
I attended that one.
Do it. We'll do this together. But again, good evening.
Good evening.
And the FEMA webinar that I attended this week was entitled Mental Health Terminology, Psychology Support, and Disaster Phases. In other words, the various phases that we experience sometimes as we go through a disaster. And the goal was to instill equity as a part of their foundation. The agency, as you had mentioned a while ago about other agencies who were willing to assist, this particular agency was called AmeriCares. And they used Puerto Rico as their hub in terms of their example to disaster preparedness discussion. And they are a humanitarian emergency medical attention to people who are in poverty, worldwide disaster, and without distinction to race and other particular identifications of a group of people. American representatives shared that their goal of their agency is to be able to key elements for various disasters like resilience, disaster phases described. They had a chart used to show like pre-disasters. Then it showed like the honeymoon. Then it showed like another where it goes to warning or a threat. And those are some of the phases that we go through, even if it's like, I'm going to say subconsciously, we go through these phases, not necessarily knowing when we may be in one or even entering into another. Then you have your impact phase. You have your rescue and heroic phases. So it was different phases that we go through when we are in a disaster. Now, they also talked about knowing your mental health terminologies, which is associated with emergencies as well as disasters. Now, they did identify the difference between an emergency and a disaster. Now, we wouldn't necessarily know these things until you are trained with the terminology that they use. Now, the panic, they gave a definition of a person or people who may be in a panic phase during a disaster or a pre-disaster situation. And it said that person would be irrational and they're baseless or hysterical. No, they're at that flight, carried out with total contempt for others. I mean, it's me, do or die. You know, I've waited and all this is going on around me. So I'm just going to crush you so I can get to where I want to be. And conditions present that would trigger panic. They also talked about immediate threats. Escape routes, closing, flight only, that's the only way for them to survive. In other words, I got to get out of here. It doesn't matter whether you get out as long as I do. And they spoke about resilience. having the ability, as this is the definition of the resilience from their perspective, the ability of an individual, system, society, or community that's exposed to a threat to resist, absorb, adapt, and recover from its effect in a what they call a timely and effective manner, preparing to accept challenges ahead. So those are some of the things that they had spoken of, Sister Aisha, and they spoke about the key elements of disaster resilience. And brothers and sisters, again, we need to get these terms, because when we, those of us who are going to be in the preparedness training, in order to help another person who may not know, and the majority of the people who come in, because the sister said, what is it, say 2%, 72% aren't trained. Or so those, when they come in, the majority of them are, chances are going to be in panic mode. So it'll be up to us, first of all, to have maybe that calming effect with them and letting them know that to the best of our ability, because they said that we are the number, you are the first responder in a disaster. Okay? In other words, if you survive and you can still move your arms and legs and get up, then you are, as a human being, incumbent to assist the next person who may have a barrier, may have something that obstructs them from getting up. So you would be the first responder to in helping that person to recover. Then they spoke about the context. They talked about disturbance. When would that occur? Responsiveness, action, disaster phase. That was the introduction for your mental and emotional phase. And again, that went back to that chart, looking at warnings or threat phase, pre-disaster phase, honeymoon phases, and all of those. Warnings or threat phase, your impact phase. This is reactions range from narrow, dazed, concussion-like responses, the less common overt expressions of panic or hysteria. And, you know, if you think about it, if you're going through experience like that, you're going to be going through all types of emotions. So those are just some of the things that you can expect. And then it's initially people are recluse, rescue, or heroic phase. In other words, this is my hero. This person rescued me from experiencing something could have been much, 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 much worse. The remedy phase or honeymoon phase works like for months after a disaster, formal government community assistance. In other words, it's not going to last forever. Just like the lady was saying, that some of the people there in Puerto Rico were missing up to 2 weeks. Could you imagine trying? Now, you know, I know that we're saying that we're going to get prepared for like 3 days or 5 days. But could you imagine being just lost? No one knowing where you are for up to 2 weeks. And they were saying that some of the people who were in Hurricane Maria there in Puerto Rico were missing for just that length of time. And then it spoke about disillusionment and the inventory phase. And this just some of the areas, reconstruction and recovery phrases. And that's about the only time I can remember that they mentioned recovery, because the majority of the discussion is on preparedness. Now, if you're interested, August the 2nd, there Region 2. Now, Brother Bilal and Brother Aziz, this may be of interest to you guys, because they're going to be hosting a seminar August 2nd It's called Homelessness Toolkit Survival. This is for the homeless people, and they're going to be, Region 2 is going to be hosting this for Region 3. And since you guys are in Region 3, and the focus will be on the state of Maryland. So you may be interested in attending this particular seminar. And if not, there will be another one on August 8th. And that's the one where they're talking again about we being the first responders in a disaster. And now that's going to be another big one. It's going to be an hour and a half in length. So if you're interested in either one of those two webinars by FEMA, let me know. Or just go to FEMA's website and click on the tab. It says classes or and just have to click on the tab, and you'll be able to register for those particular seminars. So that's what I have to add this evening. Now, there are some other things they spoke about. Key concepts of mental health in disasters, demonstrated from one disaster to another. Presenter said, I was talked again about the 2 weeks there in Puerto Rico. And first response to disasters. And it's just a lot that they do. Like I was telling you guys when we first started this discussion, these are things that we take for granted, but you'll be amazed at what goes in the undertow that we never see. Well, Sister Aisha, mm-hmm. I think I observed or I had a chance to take note on.
Very good. Thanks a lot, Sister Joy. I just want to, went to the internet, to my email, and I see that the state of Nebraska has a declaration, a disaster declaration. And what this simply means is their declaration is for severe storms and straight line winds. And last week, Puerto Rico got a declaration. This simply means that the government has declared a state of an emergency in this particular state. This one is Nebraska, based on the storms and the disasters that have occurred in that area. And that also means that the government has stated that a certain amount of funds has to come into that state to mitigate the effects of the storms. And for the state, and all declarations for the different states are not going to be exactly the same, but in Nebraska, part of their declaration, and I'm mentioning this because this is the kind of language that we're going to have to start talking, and we're going to have to understand what it means. They are providing in their declaration from the federal government, and most they're providing assistance to individuals and households who you know suffered injury from the storm and the wind. Also, public assistance for emergency work and repair or replacement of disaster damage facilities. And also hazard mitigation grant programs, which are assistance for actions taken to prevent or reduce long-term risk to life and property from natural hazard. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Preparedness is a mitigation program. So we're using their language. And preparedness requires an action. But they, for Nebraska, and I think even for Puerto Rico, I'll read theirs again, assistance for actions taken to prevent or reduce long-term risk to life and property from natural hazards. That's why we have to become prepared and we have to get into this game of natural disasters. And I don't say that flippant, but it is a process and it is a new economy that we as a people have not been invited to the table, and we do not know how to get to the table. We didn't know, but we know now.
Uh-huh.
And although they might pay lip service to preparedness, it has not happened. It hasn't happened. So, yes, we're in this business now of preparedness and disaster. And we hate to think that we're in a business that people's lives are at stake. But we're on the front end. We're not dealing with recovery. We're dealing with preparedness. That's the first step, and that's the front end, and that's where we are. So we want to protect the families before the disaster occurs. And we want to show the families how they have to continue to support themselves and protect themselves. Because you can't wait 72 hours or a week before FEMA get to you. And at the rate disasters are occurring now, they don't have the manpower to get to you, so you've got to take your life and the life of your family in your hands. And that's what we're talking about doing. Okay. Are there any other questions?
Sister Aisha, I'd like to just make a comment. It's coming pretty close. We've got about 10 more minutes. But I'd like to make a comment that your next training day, and correct me if there's any correction, but will be July the 30th. So
that's right. That's this Saturday.
This coming Saturday. So those of you who are listening, you can register if you haven't registered for the course. You can register right now. And Sister Aisha will tell you again how to register. But before she tells you how to register, let me just inform most of you that don't know how to send emails if you're not on our email list and you wish to be informed of Black Belt Wall Street agenda. Then send us your email, and that would be sent to New Africa Business Association, and that's newafricaba@gmail.com. Again, New Africa Business Association, and that's a put out New Africa, and business is just BA. So that's newafricaba@gmail.com. And our website is the New Africa Business Association .com, New Africa Business Association .com, Washington, D.C. So, of course, if you wish to contact us, you can call 301-234-9090 or 202-903-7278. So with that said, going back to our the next training session is this Saturday at 3 o'clock, and Sister Aisha will tell you if you haven't registered how you should register.
Yes, please. I'm on the website now, and just go to Summit, SummitErinc.com. And that'll take you directly to the website. Top right-hand corner, you'll see the words course registration. Click on that. It'll take you directly to the July schedule. And the only date left in July is the 30th. You will see that. It's in bold print. Click on the 30th. And then the time is 3 p.m. Eastern time. So if you're Central, you know that's 2 p.m. Mountain, you know that's 1 p.m. Pacific, you know that's 12 p.m. your time. But it will have 3 p.m. Click on continue, and it'll take you right to a statement, a privacy statement that we hope you read, and then you just pay. And then you will get from our scheduler, confirmation of your schedule, and then Zoom will send you confirmation on the sign-in. This is a Zoom event. It's really very simple. So please, like Brother Belial said, if you have 10 friends, you all pay the one, the $45 for $45.50 for the one person that's doing the registration, only one person per registration, okay? But you can have your other 9 friends sitting in front of your monitor learning this process. That's what it takes. And this is neighborhood and community networking. So we encourage you to come on board with us on Saturday. Are there any other questions?
Thank you. Thank you.
If not, thank you very much. Look forward to seeing you Saturday.
Thank you.
Our mics are open. If anyone have any questions for Sister Aisha, we certainly welcome your questions. Our mics are open. Okay, Brother Aziz, we're going to get ready to, well, before we go to Brother Aziz, let's go to our, make sure our directors, any of our directors on that haven't spoke, Dr. Stone or anyone in her organization that haven't spoken, are we? Certainly, I'd like to hear from you. And then, of course, Sister Williams, if you have any closing remarks, we'd like to have your closing remarks at this time. Okay.
I'd just like to thank you for allowing me to be on your show again this week, and the disaster training. It is well worth the investment. The family, those of you who have not attended the class, just getting a copy of that family plan is worth the investment. Because I had told the sister myself, they included all aspects of life primarily in your disaster preparedness plan of evacuation. So if you haven't taken the class, the plan itself is worth the investment. Thank you very much.
The brothers and sisters are
Thank
here,
you.
And I concur. I've gone through the courses, and I've learned, I'm still learning. So register right now, and we will see you Saturday. But like I said, not only register and brush with you after you register. Again, thanks so much for your time, for being with us, and we're going to go out with a soft a sound. Thank you.